Lauren Seibold has written this article in the August 2011 issue of Signs of the Times. It is titled, How to Know You're Saved. Your narrator is Matthew Orion. Imagine that on my birthday, you stop by my house and hand me a box wrapped in festive paper and topped with an enormous red bow. For you, you announce with a big smile. Happy birthday. I can't take it, I say. You're surprised. Why not? I just can't, I say. I don't deserve it. What do you mean? Well, I haven't always been a perfect friend. I don't call you often enough. And besides, I didn't give you anything for your birthday. Look, you might say, this has nothing to do with your deserving it. I'm not keeping score. I'm giving you this birthday present because I like you, and I want to make this a happy day for you. You'd probably insist on leaving the gift with me in spite of my refusing it. But what would you think if you stopped by a year later and found that I'd never opened it? You'd at least think me an ungrateful person. Yet, I've seen Christians do something similar. The Bible says that our salvation has been arranged, purchased, and presented to us, a complete package. The only question is, why don't we accept and open it? There's something I'm worried about, a woman once said to me. I know I'm nearer the end of my life than the beginning, and at times I wake up at night and wonder, if I die, will I be saved? Have you asked Jesus to forgive your sins, I asked. Yes, of course, she said. Do you trust that Jesus is your Savior? I've invited him to be my Savior in my every prayer since I was a child. Then why are you in doubt, I asked. Because I know I'm not perfect, she said. After a whole lifetime of being a Christian, I still have thoughts I'm not proud of. And there are many good things I should do but don't. I just don't think I'm perfect enough to be accepted into heaven. I knew this woman to be a devoted wife, mother, active in the church, and kind to everyone. But this wasn't about her goodness or her failures. She was laboring under a misunderstanding about salvation. She thought salvation is something she had to deserve. Too often we have assumed that our salvation is an achievement. It is easy to see why we think that. In our everyday lives, we generally get what we've worked for. Stay long hours on the job, and you're likely to get a raise in pay. Practice the cello several hours a day, and you'll eventually become proficient. Spend years in school with your nose buried in books, pass all the tests, and you'll earn a degree. Furthermore, the Bible is chock full of good things that Christians should do. Thus, it's understandable that we'd think God works by the same rules that hold in our everyday lives, that the more perfectly we are at doing what He asks, the greater the likelihood that He will grant us salvation. But the economy of salvation doesn't work like the economy of this earth. Paul said that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Deserve salvation? Absolutely not. We deserve just the opposite, for the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. No one could be good enough to demand salvation, but that doesn't matter, because God is giving it to us anyway, for free. Paul also said, "For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God," Ephesians 2:8. Unless someone questioned whether Paul really meant that our good deeds don't earn us eternal life, he added, "Not by works, lest anyone should boast," Ephesians 2:9. Suppose I were to brag, "My friend gave me that gift because I've given her so much and she almost had to do it." You would correctly conclude that I don't understand the concept of friendship very well. In Jesus' day, there were people who acted that way about God. They boasted that they had done everything they read in Scripture to absolute perfection, so God had no choice but to save them. They forgot that God is under no obligation to any human being, for in the end, no matter how perfectly we have lived, death will defeat us, and only God has the power to bring dead people back to life. So there's only one way to receive salvation, to accept it as a gift. If you insist on paying for it, you can't have it. But surely, you say, God wants us to be good people. He's not going to save people who cheerfully do evil things. First, a caution. I've lived long enough to realize that we can't judge the sinfulness of others with any accuracy, because every human heart, including yours and mine, is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17:9. Nor do we have the right to say for sure whom God will save. Given the kinds of people Jesus brushed shoulders with, tax collectors, thieves, drunkards, leopards, prostitutes, heathen soldiers, it's a safe bet that there will be people in heaven who you and I wouldn't have selected to go there. Nevertheless, you would have a point. God does want us to be good. Determinedly wicked people aren't trusting in Jesus, or they wouldn't do the things they do. Why should they be in heaven? Do you not know, writes Paul, that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? 1 Corinthians 6:9. Doesn't that mean you have to be good to be saved? In fact, it's the opposite effect. One of the effects of knowing that you're saved, it turns out, is that you will strive to be good. God's Spirit coming into a person's life inevitably produces the fruit of a good character. We may never become quite perfect, for the temptation is always on hand too. But our lives will trend in the direction of love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22 and 23. Those who are defiant of God, who neither know nor trust Him, have equally little interest in doing His will. But God's plan for those who do love Him is pretty clear. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. So can you go about your life on this earth with confidence that you are saved? The Apostle John, who'd known Jesus perhaps better than anyone, instructed the members of the early Christian church about salvation. "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God," he wrote, "that you may know that you have eternal life." 1 John 5:13. Please notice John didn't say that you can hope you have eternal life or wish you might find eternal life or dream of perhaps inheriting eternal life. He said you can know that you have eternal life. You can count on it. That's not to say you can't change your mind. Just because you were once saved doesn't mean you can't turn from God later, in the same way that a couple who once loved each other enough to wed later made choices that led to divorce. Jesus told a parable once in which he compared a man sowing seed to the effect of God's word on our hearts. He said, "The one who received the seed that fell in the rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he only lasts a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away." Matthew 13:20 and 21. People can fall away from God through choice, pressure, carelessness, or inattention. Though God draws us to himself and will do everything he can to keep us close to him, he won't force us to stay. But those who do stay close to God live happier, more confident lives than those who don't. Years ago, some friends taught me to climb on a sheer rock face. They fastened me into a harness, attached a rope, and then said, "Start climbing." I felt terrified at first, but they pointed out that I couldn't fall. They were holding my safety rope, and even if my feet slipped, I was supported. After that, I was less afraid to take chances. The same is true of salvation. If you have absolute confidence that your salvation is certain, then what could possibly frighten you? God's assurance of salvation is like a rope that holds you up should you lose your spiritual footing. Even in death, as unwelcome as it is, you are held in God's safety harness, so you can be certain you will awaken to eternal life.